Chapter 30. Emma. I need your help. To Jason's credit, he doesn't jump when I burst into his office, nor does he panic despite the urgent breathlessness in my voice. I can't discount the breathlessness because of my run from the parking lot, but the urgency is far more, well, urgent.
I like the hair.
Not the point.
As you've given me nothing else to go on, it's all I got.
I drop into the chair in front of his desk and prop my elbows on my knees as I lean forward, holding his gaze in a desperate attempt to get him to understand the seriousness of this moment. My design is terrible. His eyebrows lift, but somehow he doesn't really look surprised.
You said it was under control and easier than you expected.
I lied.
I know.
I sit up and frown. How can you know? He points at the computer.
Your presentation and your app are on the shared server. I took a look.
I want to fall through the chair. No, I want to fall through the floor. Who rents the office space below this? Do they need a programmer? No, I can't slink off in a pile of embarrassment. I need to make this right. I have an idea. I pull out the sketches I pulled together after getting home from my outing with Amy and throw them on his desk. But I don't know how to do it. Jason looks over the sketches and then holds them in the air.
This is a different design.
It's a different concept, yes. I take a deep breath. But design is more than that. I bury my head in my hands and go from talking to my boss to talking to my best friend. Jason, I messed up. And Amy made me get a haircut, and it doesn't look ridiculous, and that means everything doesn't have to be in different little boxes, and I don't know who I am, but I finally feel like myself. His fingers wrap around my wrists, and he pulls my hands away from my face. I open my eyes and look into his. The way he's kneeling in front of my chair puts his face at eye level.
Two things. Well, three.
His voice is gentle, and a small smile is tugging at his lips. Okay. I sniff and rub tears from my cheek with my sleeve. When did I start crying?
One.
He lets go of my arm and grabs a tissue box from his desk.
I can't understand you when you talk into your hands.
I'm not sure I was making sense anyway. I grab a tissue and blow my nose.
Two, I'm calling Trina to come over here with pizza or whatever because while I am here for you no matter what, and will sit through anything you want to tell me, I have a feeling another woman might be helpful in this case.
I frown. Maybe. Probably. He nods.
And finally, I'm going to clear my weekend. It's going to be you and me in that conference room, and we're going to redo this prototype.
I groan. There isn't time to start over. He tosses the tissue box at me.
Crazy girl. Do you know what else is on the shared server?
What? I pull out another tissue and dab at my eyes.
Your code. Unlike your design, your code is elegant and efficient. Most of it can be repurposed. We're tweaking, not starting over.
He drops back into the seat behind his desk and pulls out his cell phone. I assume he's texting Trina. Tell her I want bacon. He nods. And pineapple. He pretends to gag. You aren't a designer either.
I'm better than you are.
He finishes his text and drops the phone on the desk.
But if it makes you feel better, I'll see if anyone on the design team is available to give us a few pointers before they leave for the weekend.
I nod. If they go over hours, you can take it from my paycheck.
What did they use to make those blonde streaks?
I don't know. Why?
Because I think it fried your brain.
His laughter joins with a click of keys as he types out an email.
You do remember we have salaries around here, right? No one is paid by the hour.
A few more keystrokes and a click of the mouse, and he folds his arms on the desk to lean toward me and grin.
I will, however, let you pay for all the takeout we're about to have delivered.
By the time Trina arrives with a giant stack of pizza boxes, most of Digital World Solutions employees are packed into the conference room. The whiteboard is covered with the design team's ideas for how to organize the menus and handle the layered imagery. They're in the middle of a heated debate on how long the delay needs to be to accommodate people just strolling through, so the software isn't constantly trying to remap to paintings the user isn't truly taking the time to look at. On the other side of the room, the junior programmers have brought in a projector, and the wall is filled with line after line of code as they determine which objects can work as is and which need to be adjusted for the new plan. The intern is digging through the supply closet to find our stash of smart glasses that we use for testing. Even our two marketing guys are here brainstorming names for the new design. Trina places the pizza boxes on the table, and everyone stops in the middle of their work to descend upon the food. Moments later, a box slightly smaller than the others is shoved at me.
"Here's your pineapple monstrosity," Stephanie says with a shudder. "If that's what heartache makes you eat, I'm never dating again."
"Wait, Emma got her heart broken?"
Zach, one of the junior programmers, looks up from his slice of pepperoni.
"Yeah,"
David from marketing answers.
"That's why we're doing this. He thought her design was bad."
"He wasn't wrong," Stephanie mumbles. I'd like to feel offended, but she's right. We are doing this because the museum visitors deserve the best possible self-guided tour, and we all know that's augmented reality. I try to keep my voice firm because this does not need to devolve into a discussion of my personal life. Nor do I want anyone here as some sort of vendetta against Carter. It isn't his fault. He never pretended to care about my job. I just wish caring about me had been enough to cover it all.
Aw, man, she's crying. Who's got some tissues?
Good job, David.
What did I do? Stephanie was the one who called her design bad. My mom says when girls cry, it's always a guy's fault.
I think it's time to get an apartment of your own, Zach. I can't help it. Laughter bubbles out through the tears and I sink to the floor, still clutching my bacon and pineapple pizza. Trina prods me with her foot and my laughter approaches hysterical levels. I think we broke her.
Good,
Jason says as he rescues my pizza and then nudges me in the shoulder, so I roll completely onto the floor.
Maybe she'll start to see reason then.
I cough and choke and roll over to lie flat on my back as I try to get control of myself enough to talk. I'm completely reasonable. Falser words were never spoken. Trina sits on the floor near my head. Hey! I lay my head on her knee and she strokes my hair. Jason kneels, making sure to stay out of kicking range.
I get this is a girl thing, but I'm a guy, so let me give you something to think about. That guy is crazy about you. Maybe even stupid crazy. You remember what you were mumbling in my office?
I try to think back, but it's all a blur. No?
I didn't get all of it, but I know something about this haircut made you see things differently.
It's really cute. Trina fluffs the hair on my forehead. I like the bangs. What's your point, Jason? He shrugs.
Maybe this guy just needs a haircut.
I frown. I like his hair long.
Ugh, I'm being metaphorical here, Trinket. Keep up.
Jason stands and points to my sketches.
Let's help him see things a little differently, shall we? It's what we do.
Conversation bounces around the table as we eat the pizza. Most of it seems to center around me, and before I know it, I'm showing them pictures of myself and Amy in formal wear, Carter's paintings, and my string of high scores on his new gaming console. Jason gathers the empty pizza boxes into a stack as everyone gets back to work. He leans over to whisper,
"Do you get it yet? All these people think you are worth helping just as you are."
I throw a napkin into my box. "I never said I was unloved." Trina leans in. "Everything they just learned about you hasn't sent them scurrying either. It's just interesting trivia. I really like that green dress, though. Can I borrow it?" "I'll see if I can find it," I grin at her. "Good. Now, go coat a pumpkin or whatever needs to happen to make this fairy tale work." She leans back in her chair, props her feet on the table, and pulls out her phone.
I can't help the smile that splits my face. What are you doing? Y'all are gonna need a food runner. She snags my purse from the back of my chair. And I'm putting all of it on your credit card. Be sure to include a tip for the delivery driver. I'm still grinning as I join my coding team. The smart glasses are plugged into charge. Code is ripped apart and put back together. Ideas are erased and rewritten on the board. When late-night milkshakes arrive, a few people, primarily the marketing and testing people, call it a night. Before they leave, they make Jason promise to text them if there's anything they can come back and help with. The looks they give me as they do this say they don't trust me to be honest about it. They're probably right. Finally, Jason calls it for the night, and everyone else heads home. It's just me and him in a conference room that looks like the command center for a world disaster movie.
This really is a good look on you.
He pokes at the bun on top of my head, being held in place by a couple of pencils because I couldn't find a hair tie. The layers make it messier than it used to be, as strands have come loose and are poking out in all directions. Thanks. My tone is dry. He laughs.
I mean it. You look like you. The real you.
He groans and runs a hand through his hair.
Ugh, I'm so bad at this. Where's Trina?
Hopefully asleep, since she promised to bring everyone coffee and donuts at 8 a.m. tomorrow. I gather up my purse. As much as I want to keep working, I'm not a college student who can run on catnaps and caffeine anymore. I think you're doing a good job, though. He hits the lights and secures the locks before we head toward our cars.
As a former boyfriend, may I say, ouch!
I pinch him in the side. It was, what, 4 dates? And we spent most of them talking about how weird it was and deciding we would just spend the evening as we usually did. Can those even really be called dates?
Did you discuss outfit ideas with your friends?
I laugh hard enough to need to lean against my car for support. Is that what makes it a date for you?
I don't know.
He leans against the car next to me and we both look up into the sky. There are too many streetlights around for us to see many stars, but we still look.
What I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted was, I like what came out of that time.
Our non-dating dating time?
Yeah, I mean, do you really think we'd still be friends if we hadn't done that?
I consider it and have to admit the answer is no. If we hadn't tried, there would always be the pressure of what if. I guess not.
So I'm glad. We both came out of it with something better than what we went into it with.
What's your point, ex-boyfriend? He flicks at my hair again.
My point is, even if this is the end with him, even if you cry into your cornflakes for a few weeks, you're better for this time you had with him. Don't count it all bad.
I look at the stars, contemplating his words. They're true. I have a new confidence, a new relationship with my sister, a new understanding of life. But I still want to have Carter too.
Okay, you're taking too long.
Jason presses the unlock button on my key fob and opens my car door.
Focus on driving, then ponder philosophy as you go to sleep.
I climb in and give him a salute. See you in a few hours. He salutes back and walks to his own car. Saturday is a blur of code and tests and takeout. I'm surprised by how much of my stuff was usable, how close I came to getting it right. All it took was a few people looking at it from a different way. Maybe I'm not so far off with Carter either. On Sunday, there's only a handful of us in the conference room. Me, Jason, and a couple junior programmers are running tests and configuring the mapping graphics. We take a break mid-morning and use the projector to throw our church services live stream onto the wall. It's peaceful after the frantic pace of the last few days. I'll have some cleanup work to do before the demonstration, but the hardest parts are almost complete. By mid-afternoon, it's just me and Jason in the conference room running one more functionality test. Tomorrow, I'll need to go to the museum and make some final measurements and tests with the real thing. But so far, everything looks good. When Carter's painting comes up, my breath shudders.
Is that his?
Jason asks quietly. I nod.
It's good.
I nod again.
What's the tour going to say about it?
I don't know. I didn't look. I had deliberately passed the loading and mapping of this painting off to someone else. The cold facts aren't what I think of when I see it. I feel something else entirely. Something I really want Carter to know. I take the glasses off and consider them. I'm boring a pair of these. Jason's eyebrows shoot up.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. He coughs and looks around the disaster of a room.
When did you find the time?
I wave his question away. Not important. The important thing is, I'm not done.
With the project? No, it's still got some finishing work, but it's doable.
No, with Carter. If it's over, I want to be able to say I gave it everything I have. I hold up the glasses. And it starts with these. Jason doesn't ask, but I can tell he's curious.
What else is part of the plan?
I slide my computer over and click into an online dress store. Going shopping,